Welcome to a podcast with Boone Pickens and my great friend Amy Weiss. My name is Rich Galen. I'm the Republican, Amy's the Democrat, and you wonder how we can be sitting next to each other if you just watch the cable news channels. But frankly, here in Washington, this we're not up to you yet. You own everything. That's where you are. But this is exactly the kind of thing with that successful campaigns, not candidate campaigns, but issue campaigns are built around. That we all know where we are on politics. We know the Republicans. We know the Democrats.
But I was never partisan in the Pickens plan.
Exactly. What we did need, when we got started, we realized that we were shy of really good representation in terms of the press corps in Washington. And Tom Seinhorst looked around to see who might be available to help add to the team. And a guy named Mike McCurry, who was President Clinton's press secretary, recommended Amy Weiss. She's a Democrat. Nobody cared. She came in, completely re-energized the whole operation. And Amy Weiss, why don't you take it from there?
Thank you. So I remember the first day we met, Boone. I was a little nervous to meet you. I heard a lot about you.
You were a little girl. I remember that.
I was a little girl. Yeah. I was 10, because it was 8 years ago. And you said to me, why would you want to work for me? You're a Democrat. And I said, you know what, sir? I don't agree with your politics, but I agree with your policies. And it's been an amazing ride ever since. So it's been really terrific.
And we've had a great friendship. And I have a better friendship with you than I do with Rich.
Who wouldn't? Of course, who wouldn't?
One time we were walking around New York, and we'd finished doing a big taping, and we were walking to lunch, and I said, why are you doing this?
I couldn't figure it out, probably.
No, you had a really, you knew exactly why. You said you were too young for World War II. When Korea came around, you had children. You're too old for Vietnam, and you felt very strongly that you had a debt to America, and this was your way of at least partially repaying that debt.
There was another part to that story that, yes, and I thought there'd be a time that the Lord would give me a mission to fill. And this was that mission, that I'll get everything behind me. World War II, the Korean War, and Vietnam, I'll get them all out of the way right here. But I'm always trying to get something out of the way that needs to be filled. My mother, she said when you got married, you had been in the Methodist Church, your grandfather was a Methodist preacher, and said you then joined the Presbyterian Church. Your wife was a Presbyterian, close enough. So just go ahead, Presbyterian. And she said, you need to switch back to the Methodist Church. Okay, what did I do? Last week, I put my letter in at the first Methodist Church in Dallas and went back, and I got that behind me.
It's a nice church. I've been in it.
Yeah.
It's a great church, in fact. You know, we also, one of the things that we also remember from the road was when you would do college campuses, and again, these were thousands of people would show up at these town hall events, and especially at college campuses, it'd always be one professor who would stand up and say, that's all wrong, you don't understand about, what about
that? That was my cousin.
What about the methane? What about on and on and on? And you were very good about this. You didn't get your dander up. You'd let him speak, and then you would say, "Okay, you've heard my plan. What's your plan?" And of course, he didn't have a plan, and he's just standing there and look back. And so you said, "Okay, so your plan is the status quo. When you have a plan, come back and we'll talk about it." And the audience would applaud and carry on. But you were very good about not. You didn't berate them. You allowed them to have their say. But you knew what you were talking about, and you weren't going back.
Oh, listen, I knew the subject.
Yeah.
I did know the subject.
Well, when I started with you, the only thing I knew about all oil and gas was how much it cost to fill my tank, and it was a lot back in those days.
There were a lot of people. That's all they knew,
yeah,
was what it cost to fill up the car.
But we learned a lot.
Yeah, we learned a lot, and you were always ahead of your time. I mean, when we started the plan, oil was at, what, 40?
140.
And
gas was at $13.
So you were way ahead of your time. And you know, we launched it as D.C. got even more partisan than ever, and you really wanted to build a bipartisan plan, which you did. I mean, think about your meeting with Senator John Kerry and how amazing that was. I mean, what was that
like? You're talking about when...
I'm talking about, like, building the plan and then, you know, reaching out to Democrats and reaching out to Republicans. But
you're
especially
talking about when we met and were on television together mm-hmm. and everything. Yeah, okay.
Well, I went back and watched... you were on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart once, and I went back and watched it the other day. And, you know, I think, I'm not sure what they planned when they booked you, but I think they, because you were a Republican, and I think they were perfectly happy to make fun of you. And you were so strong, and you were so honest, and you were so open about it. And you kept saying, I'm for anything American. And Jon Stewart says, what about mayonnaise?
And you said, right. And he said,
if it's made in America, I'm for it. And he said,
He said, I'll go to Washington with you.
He said, I'm going to stand up and take this audience out that door, and we're going to go to Washington with you.
That's right.
It was great. It still makes the hair on my arm stand up.
We drew a crowd, and they believed us. And I don't know, you give me more credit for how many people believed, but I envision by now we would be over, all heavy-duty trucks would be on natural gas.
Well, it's coming
What's
your
happening?
Way. It's just taking a little longer than you hoped.
You're, again, ahead of your time.
I better hurry on this one.
Well, that was another thing you said when you did a TED Talk.
But I've got FedEx. I've got AT&T.
UPS.
UPS. I've got a bunch of big ones with me.
Right.
Right.
And you worked it every day. I mean, it was no small... Jay was right when he said he never thought he'd have trouble keeping up with an 80-something-year-old man. But we all did. You had us all running.
I was going to say, you were, you know, probably working out at 6:30 this morning. Well, you know, Rich and I were
I had a trainer there at 6:30 this morning. But I checked the price of oil because my guy comes in at the office at 6 and has all
the data,
the market right there before him. And I got that first, and then I did the treadmill.
Well, when Tom started this thing, it was, and the, going back to the way we began this particular installment. Tom was like Mickey Rooney in a movie with Judy Garland walking down the street. Let's do a show, and people just couldn't wait to get on board. And we built this enormous team, this terrific team, this team that got along. And to this minute, I can't remember a time when any of us had a cross word with each other. But the central character, the central character was T. Boone Pickens.
No, but what we had. We had a legitimate idea.
Yeah.
And that was, it's cleaner, it's cheaper.
And it's ours.
It's ours. Right. I said, anybody can't sell that. I said, it's not much of a salesman. When I made that remark in 1988, hey, listen, I thought I'd have it sold in 3 years.
Well, the Pickens plan has been a great experience. I don't know that it'll ever be duplicated. People will try to emulate it because they'll see how successful it can be. If you just put aside your personal politics and focus on the mission, and you led us through that.
And we did. We focused on the mission. We did.
We were on the road a lot in the early days, as Tom said, when he was with you in one of these. We put it together like a presidential campaign. So it was like a presidential campaign. It was on the road every day, going to a different place and kind of going in and going. Now, people would jump on and off, you know, over the course of the week. But we were all back in Dallas on Thursday night or Friday morning so that everybody could get home and you could get out to the ranch or out to California. And that's another thing that you get into when you're on one of these projects is that when you've been around it long enough, the early days of a project like this is I might have an idea and you might say, well, that's not your idea to have. That's my role. Or I might do that. But we were together so much, and you were so eager to get this thing sold that there was no such thing as somebody having an idea that didn't belong to them. If you had a good idea, throw it in the pot. If we could make it work, we did it. And you could move on a dime. And you'd be walking up to the stage, and somebody would whisper something in your ear, and the first thing you know, you did 5 minutes on it.
Well, I'm not sure.